I wonder if any of you have played dominoes. Raise your hand. Let's see you raise your hand. Yeah, I don't mean like connecting them like this together. Have you stood them up like this together so they all knock over? Anyone done that? I used to do that forever when I was a kid, yeah. Well, we start our series today called The Domino Effect. And of course, we'll have Domino's pizza on Wednesday and all those good things. And The Domino Effect will go for the next 6 weeks as we dive into the book of Colossians and Paul's letter to those in Colossae, those who decided to follow Jesus and be a church plant in Colossae. And we're going to talk about them. By the way, my name's Keith Harcombe. I haven't met you yet. I can't wait to. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, be in the lobby after the service. Well, today is an exciting day, especially in my life, because some of our values here at Palm Harbor are excellence in Christian development and a continuous focus on the future, looking for who is going to come next, who anticipating for who Christ is going to work into for the rest of their life. And today, as you know, and as some of you know, this was the church that it was a start of my domino effect in my career. This is the church that I came to and I was molded into and became back to back in 2003. And when I arrived here, I was a volunteer in the youth ministry. And in front of me was a young man, John Michael Richardson. And he is with us today. He went to University of Florida, and I thought I'd never see him again, you know, graduate out of youth ministry. And then the next thing I know, I was a youth pastor over at Eastlake UMC, Bell Tower over there. That's where I was. And John Michael wanted to become my youth intern there for a summer season. And I was just so excited that the work that had started in his life was now motivating him towards ministry and going on towards ministry in his life. He is now, he did youth ministry in a couple of churches, and now he's the executive director of discipleship over at Bay Hope, my previous church. And I'm so excited that God continues to work in his life, continues to develop him in his Christian life. And he's going to be here today, and he's going to deliver the message for us. And I'm just so excited for you to hear him. Please welcome John Michael Richardson to the platform.
It's good to be home. We often talk about in our counseling ministries that a secure attachment is a good thing. That if in parenting you can create a secure attachment with your kids, they will always come back no matter where they go. And I feel a secure attachment here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. So much of my life was formed in this building. Even as I think back to this week, like I can point to places on this stage where my life was transformed. And so it is good to be home with you all today. I've been married for 14 years since leaving Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. I have two little ones. Lily Grace is 8 and Cooper James is almost 2. And it has been a whirlwind of a life, and we wouldn't have it any other way. When I put my little one to bed at night, our almost eight-year-old, we pray. And doesn't God teach us so much about prayer from our little ones? We can get up in our heads about prayer, but our little ones bring us back home to why we pray the way we do. And so a while back, I was praying with her, and she started, and she goes, "Dear God," and I said, "All right, sweetheart, pause. What are you doing?" "Just, I'm praying." "Continue." "All right. Dear God," she knocked off her microphone, and she goes, I said, "All right, please, sweetheart, what are you doing with your collar? Why are you doing that?" And she goes, "Well, Jesus is in my heart, so I'm praying to Jesus. And so with that, would you join me in prayer to Jesus? God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you are doing. We welcome you to this place here and now. We thank you for the worship, and we thank you for your unfailing love. In Jesus' mighty and precious name we pray. Amen." Well, as Pastor Keith said, we are starting a series called The Domino Effect. And as he mentioned before, I've never played dominoes, really. I didn't have the patience to set something up just to knock it down. That just never made sense to me. But the domino effect is an amazing thing. As looking at the entire history of dominoes, it takes far less power to knock over a domino than it does for that domino to knock over the next domino. And so there's this incredible ability through the very scientific term of a meta-stable state that a domino lies in, that with a little bit of force and a little bit of change, you can make an incredible difference. In fact, if you start with a domino that's just 2 inches tall, it can knock over easily a domino that is 4.5 inches tall. And that third domino can be a foot tall. And if you keep going down the line, the next domino in size, number 4, can be 2.5 feet tall. Number 23 can be as tall as the Eiffel Tower. Number 31 can be as tall as Mount Everest. And number 57 can be as big as the moon. With a little bit of effort and the start of a domino this big, the world can change. And don't we see that going back 2,000 years in Christian hindsight? That Jesus of Nazareth started with one, and then a community, and then a village, and then an empire, and then the world. And here we sit and stand today. I know as I think back to this place of the dominoes that have affected my life, even in my mid-30s, I can't bear to say their first names. They are still Mr. Dodge, Mr. Cooper, Mr. Reeser, Lynn, Carl, Keith, are lives that impacted mine to such an extent that today I stand before you, incredibly humbled and honored to share the good word of Jesus Christ. And if we think about that and what that can mean for you and me, we can see back to that beginning in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where we are going out to the ends of the earth, and that small community together can receive the power of the Holy Spirit that comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so today we're going to be out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 20, 15 through 20, the whole thing. And Chris said it so well earlier in our worship time. It's a beautiful passage, and I love that he used it in the worship set, because going back 2,000 years, most likely, the hearers of this section of Scripture would have heard a poetic rhythm, may have even heard music as they recited this from a letter from Paul. Interestingly, from prison, as Paul often was to do for sharing the word of Christ, he writes this letter from prison to the glory of God. And it opens saying, Christ is supreme. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. And through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created for him and through him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning and the end, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Amen. And I love how Paul opens this chapter. You see, this is the poetic part where he actually has a challenge for the church in Colossae. But he opens the chapter earlier by saying, I am so proud of you for your faith and your hope and your love. And again, this is not a church that Paul planted. This is a plant of a church. That Paul is hearing the good news about what is happening in the Colossian church and is encouraging them on their faith and their hope and their love. Would that be something we could be celebrated for as a church? The outside world would look to us from a distance and say, thank you for your faith and your hope and your love. So he says that, and then he heads into this beautiful passage of Scripture, which is a response to the prevailing world around the Colossians of that day. See, there was this group called the Gnostics who were around, who looked to change this new way of thought into just that, just a way of thought, that Christianity would be another philosophy to put on the shelf along with the rest they went along with. They actually criticized the early days of Christianity by its rude simplicity, which I love. The rude simplicity of what Christ has called us to be. And so Paul hears what the Gnostics are saying and uses this poem to respond to the prevailing thoughts of the day. So we see first that he says, God is who he says he is. There was a Gnostic thought that the unseen God was so different from the Creator God. And Paul says, no, 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 no. Right from the get-go in verse 15, he is the unseen and the visible image of God. That's who Jesus is. It has echoes of our Genesis chapter 1, made in the image of God. And so he says, do not forget that he is the image of the seen and the unseen God. So he is God. He is also over all creation. So we start with the beginning of he is God, and then he is also over all things created. There was a Gnostic thought in the day that God was so far removed from the original God. That had to be who created all of this. And Paul says, no, no, no. The same God who you cannot see, but Jesus is the visible image of, created all that you experience and touch. And then he says also, this new thing called church, this gathering of you all together to do word and deed and service and acts, Jesus is the head of that too, lest we ever forget that Jesus is the head of the church, that God has chosen to do his work in and through. But it tells us for 2,000 years there's been some trouble with that, that sometimes we forget. And then at the end, he says, just in case I didn't cover everything, Jesus is the head of all things. So he is over all himself. As the visible image of God, he is over creation, he is over the church, and anything else you may think of. It's a powerful place for him to be. And as we think through to the effects of this domino effect, Paul understood that. Paul understood what effects our actions have now can affect our world so many ways down the road. When the British went into India, as the colonial occupants, they were amazed when they reached New Delhi and they found king cobra snakes. And they were terrified, as they should have been. Those are terrifying snakes. But they were everywhere as a part of that New Delhi culture. And so the British came up with a bounty system where they would remove the snakes for a bounty. And as they did, the people of New Delhi realized this is a great business. And after a while, the population of the snakes began to dwindle. And they realized this bounty system was going to run out. So they did what any entrepreneurial system would do, and they started to raise snakes on the side. And they would bring them in and get paid, and then raise some more and bring them in and get paid. Well, when the British realized this, they stopped the bounty system. And now, there was a system of farmers in place raising poisonous king cobra snakes. And so they just released them into the wild. And when the British left, there were 2 times more king cobra snakes than when they arrived. So what can we learn from our British occupants? One, the British are always wrong. Only sometimes. But also, doesn't that ring true to us? That sometimes those ripple effects we love to think about are also, I need to be paying attention to where I'm causing that effect today. What is at the center of who I am and what comes out of that? The fancy seminary term for that is Christocentric. Christ at the center. As we read our Bible, is it Christocentric? And what does that look like to an outside world? Because we've often heard the term that nature abhors a vacuum. So whatever is at the center of our lives, if we don't put put something there, nature will fill that gap. And oftentimes, what do we fill those times with? What seeps to the center of our being? Is it an ideology? Is it a person? Is it a thought? If it's anything other than Jesus Christ, we need to look at that. We need to imagine what that could be. Because very quickly, if Jesus is not at the center of who we are, it starts to read like this. John Michael is the visible image of the invisible John Michael. I existed before anything and was created, and I am supreme over all creation. For through me, I created everything in the heavenly realms on earth. I'll stop. It's scary. No one needs to hear what John Michael did or did not create, because that's not who is at the center of our being. That doesn't make sense to our world. But how often does that creep into our lives? And insert your thing here. I imagine it often as a frame. I was a photojournalism major in college, and so I love a beautiful picture. I love a beautiful framed photo, and when the frame matches the picture, now we're talking, right? And we've all been in those houses where the frames don't match the picture, and it'll drive you a little nuts, right? A little cheap, just for a couple more dollars, a really beautiful frame over a nice photo, and you have something gorgeous. The frames matter. The frames of our lives matter. Paul mentions earlier in chapter 1, he says, in Christ or in Colossae. That's a big deal of the day. What would be the frame of their existence? Would it be in Christ or in the town? And we can still, 2,000 years later, insert the name of your town here. Do we view our lives and thereby our actions in Christ through the frame of Jesus? Or do we view it through the frame of the world? And how does that affect who we are? How does that affect how we see the Bible, how we see each other? And what could that mean for you and me? Henry Nouwen famously said that joy does not happen by accident. It is a choice we make daily. Richard Mulholland, in An Invitation to a Journey, said that discipleship is being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. That as we grow in our journey with Jesus, we could be formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. And if we look at those together, that means we have a choice daily, because joy comes from Christ, and that we are being formed every single day. So often we get caught in the thoughts of Christianity that we had that one moment or that one time and nothing else changed. That God came in and spoke, and that was wonderful and true, but then that was it. And I love to think about a God who is constantly forming us into the image of himself for the sake of others. And I see that here. When I come back and see this place, I see that here. It was amazing to be on a tour this morning, and I had to walk around. I was allowed upstairs into the tech booth, which is the first time I've been up there with permission. It was wonderful. I wasn't worried about getting in trouble afterwards. I was up there, and I was supposed to be. It was really, really cool. And that's because a lot of people here were in proximity to my soul growing up. A lot of people here took the time and the energy to pour into someone that they never knew what would happen. And ironically, as I stand before you here today, I don't remember many of the sermons. I remember being here. I remember loving what Jesus was doing in this community, in this place. I remember the people who spoke words of life into me that I will never forget, and who were close. Didn't have to know everything, didn't know all the Bible, but knew enough to speak to my heart. And proximity, whether it's in Domino's, or whether it's in our walk with Jesus, whether it's in our relationships or our jobs, proximity is important, and haven't the last few years explained that to us in a very, very real way. that we become so keen and aware of what our 6 feet boundaries are. Where can we go? Where can't we go? What does that look like? What does that mean? And sometimes we lose our proximity to each other. And I think that's what God is calling us to as a church, big C. As a church, God is calling us to be near. And we see just that in a program called Live Out Loud, which I'm excited to say is coming to Palm Harbor United Methodist Church this summer. See, a year ago, a team of Christians came together and dreamt of what it could be to be involved in the foster care group home system of Hillsborough and Pasco counties. If you know anything about the foster care group home system, they are saints and amazing people. But once a teenager enters a foster care group home, the odds of adoption are almost nothing. They will age out of that home at some point. And so as a mission, as a group, is John 1:5, where a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome that light. And so we believe that strongly, and so this group of people made connections with 16 foster care group homes in Hillsborough and Pasco County, and said, what can we do to love teenage girls in these situations? And all they did, and I say all with all the irony possible, was to be in proximity to these people, to be in proximity to what God was doing. We don't host formal Bible studies. We have food, and we have crafts, and we have games together, and most importantly, we have people who are there and create a sense of community and hope. And so each week, we have over 100 girls from all over Pasco and Hillsborough County come to a church campus. They don't know that services happen. They don't realize that happens during the morning. They just know that's Bay Hope in the afternoon when they come and are a part of our campus. And they are loved on by an ecumenical group of people from all over Hillsborough County. Not just people from one church, people from 7 churches come together to serve this group of girls. And I have a letter from one of them. See, this girl was in Hillsborough and Pasco County and was affected by Live Out Loud. And when we came to Pinellas County to create relationships with group homes here in Pinellas County, we were talking to a group home about it and saying what LOL is, Live Out Loud, what it could be, this incredible program, and you guys should come. And as one of our volunteers started explaining what this is, this girl stops and says, stop. I have been to LOL when I was in Hillsborough County. And that was the highlight of our week. We have to go. You don't need to tell us about this anymore. We have to go when this happens. And she wrote this letter about her experience. I just want to thank you for everything you have done for me. While being here, I found a place where I feel at home. And if we remember the setting, this is someone who has had 17 homes in 15 years. And she has a place that she feels at home. I feel accepted. I feel found a place in my heart where I belong. When I first got here, to be honest, I was scared. I thought nobody liked me. I felt people here were always judging me, but they never were. The people here are great. Miss Tim and Miss Katie are my favorite people in the world. And I am very grateful for having this life that I have. I know that I have people who care about me. I now realize that something that Miss Dale said, that you have something. I am worthy of living the life that I have. You all have helped me realize my true colors. And to the other girls in the program, if you don't think you are loved, just know that you are loved by me. If you don't know that you are loved, know that you are loved by me. So in a season with proximity, life can change. And the reason we have this letter is because that's right after this girl said yes to Jesus Christ. Not with a formal service, but with a group of believers around her in proximity. That domino effect still as strong as it has ever been in the world of Jesus Christ. Alive and well in what we can do. And it's coming here. It's coming here this summer. There will be 40 girls here on a monthly basis on Sunday evening starting in June to come and to hear the words of Jesus Christ, not from a pulpit, but from a person. To hear that they are loved, that they can find the same home that 20 years ago I found here and was never able to leave after I came. And that's the call of Christ on our lives. That this small domino has a moon-size effect not too far down the road. And so may we be strong in the love of Christ, knowing that God is still good. That in the words of verses 15 through 20, the fancy seminary word of preeminent, that God is over and supreme over all things. And with a little bit of faith, and a little bit of hope, and a little bit of love, just like that church 2,000 years ago, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus today. May God continue to move and to grow and to challenge you and me in that. Would you pray with me? God, you are good. Your mercy endures forever through the generations. Your loving kindness fills our hearts with overflowing. Great is your faithfulness. Would you continue to be so present in our midst? We thank you that you are here and that you are good. Thank you for being so close to us and being the center of who we are, that we may be formed into the image of your Son for the transformation of others and the sake of your world. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.